Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Can you think of anything finer than wasting some online time with these two? Can you?
It's the kind of movie where the sword budget was higher than the pants budget.
You know what he is? He's Ray Romano, but dirtier.
It's a cat and mouse game, okay? The mouse's parents have been killed, the mouse has been raped, and the mouse's home has been burned to the ground. Now, guess who did all this?
The cat?
Yes.
Say that, friends. It's time for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Pitch me.
Pitch me.
Gendrequal.
None of the pants are too wet and they're too shiny.
Tom Cruise is what I would like to say crazy Cruise.
I'm going to change the story to Robert Pattinson killed a clown.
Sir, as you know, my unit is the very best.
Without these two, you won't have a clue which movies to see. So tune in every week. That's right. I said tune in weekly.
They're full of BS.
Welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. This show has two hosts. I'm one of them. My name is Eric D. Snyder. The other host is this gentleman, Jeff Bear.
Hi, I'm Jeff Bear. I am the other one. That was the other one of the other one. That's Eric D. Snyder. I'm Jeff Bear. Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. It's the summer blockbuster spectacular.
Oh, we're getting pretty excited. Later in the show, we'll be holding the draft to choose our movies for the Summer Box Office Challenge, the fifth annual Summer Box Office Challenge.
And while some might believe the stakes are not as high when they hear the bets that we have decided to do, the important thing is I'm nervous. I do not want to lose, and that's the key with this.
That is the key, and you should get used to that feeling because you are going to lose.
It is currently 2-2. This is our fifth summer of doing it, and there is no way that I'm going to have a losing record.
Well, I guess let's agree to disagree on that. You know how I'm not generally competitive? I feel like this is the only thing that I trash talk in. The only thing that we do that I feel like I need to trash talk.
Yeah, you don't normally trash talk.
Yeah, because I do.
I mean, even like poker, you never trash talk.
No, because I don't really care who wins. This, I do kind of care who wins.
It's good that you have that attitude in poker.
In poker, I really don't care.
No, it's really, that's important.
I know, it works out well for the rest of you, I know.
That's key.
You want to play poker with a table full of guys who don't care if they win.
I don't feel like, okay, with poker, I do want to win. But
you're a competitive person.
I'm a competitive person, but I just like competition is what I keep saying. And I think that's true.
Like you don't care about whether you win, you just like the competition of it?
I just like a good game. Good game. Okay. Good game,
well,
everybody.
That's fine. That's fair. I can see that.
That's how I believe as long as you can learn, you know, something about yourself during it.
But then
you're better than other people, then there you go.
That is an important – I remember when I first learned that. But you'll go out of your way to make things into competition. Things that were not competition, you'll make them into competitions.
Yes.
Because you like the good game. All right.
Yes, but it is because I like the good game, not because I am looking for a victory.
Okay, that's fair.
I've been losing all my life. Doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I can get used to it because you'll be losing the Summer Box Office Challenge.
Ugh, walked into that. Speaking of summer, now that's it. You want to talk about movies already?
In a moment. First, let's mention we're sponsored, brought to you by oneofus.net.
They're fantastic.
They're great. If you like movies or if you like sports, they've got some stuff about movies and sports.
I actually like both of those things, and I love the NBA playoffs, and so do the guys at oneofus.net.
There you go.
So and the if NBA, you're looking for a podcast involving that, please look no further.
The NBA playoffs are going on right now, which means only, 3 months till the end of the season, till the final?
Yeah.
So the victory winner is declared?
I am very nervous as a big Chicago Bulls fan. Everything is pointing to the Bulls having every advantage they could against their opponents, and somehow I just feel like they're going to blow it.
All right. Sorry, you've lost me. And then also, the Movie BS Perpetual Lunch Fund, which you can contribute to.
The Movie BS Pulf.
Pulf, yeah.
For short.
This week, our Argentine listener, Diego, he was our official Movie BS agent back when we had agents. He was the one for Argentina.
We do need to bring back agents.
Right now he's a sleeper agent. He's inactive until we activate him again. If you contribute at least $25 to the Perpetual Lunch Fund, you can sponsor the show. He writes in and he says he doesn't have anything that he wants us to promote for him. He says, I just wanted to give back a little for the countless hours of fun you guys have provided throughout the years. Then he says, I'm running my sixth full marathon this year, and Movie BS has been on my headphones throughout all the training sessions, entertaining me, making me laugh, and helping me push forward and make it through those last grueling miles. First of all, for an Argentine, you've got great English, Diego, by the way. But yeah, you're running a sixth marathon. So kudos to you, Diego,
Argentinian listener. Eric, just give me a moment with Diego.
All right.
You can do this, Diego. Okay, I'm good.
Six marathons. That's crazy. One marathon is crazy.
He'll probably just put that on a loop, and he'll listen to that for his 26.2, right? 26.2? Yeah, 26.2
miles. Yeah. I don't know what is it. I don't know what it is in Argentina because they got the metric system down there.
Yeah, it's like 17,000 something
kilometers. I also don't know if you're supposed to say Argentinian or Argentine. Let us know, Diego. Diego, please let us know how an American should refer to people from Argentina. I know not to cry for you. I know that part. Anyway, thank you, Diego, for sponsoring the show today. That was dumb. Man. You shouldn't have laughed that much because that was dumb.
No, I shouldn't have. But I'm just realizing I'm having a lot of fun on this show so far. And now it's either like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be one of the great ones that I won't want to bother doing anymore because it doesn't compare to this one. Or things are about to take a turn for the worse and it's going to get really boring. So,
yeah. And we do not have a new iTunes review this week, but that is the thing you listeners can do. Write us a review at iTunes, and we'll read it on the show.
Eric will read it on the show in old-time radio voice, which we haven't heard for a few weeks. So No, my friend,
we haven't. We've had no occasion to use old-timey radio voice.
Hey, put that away. Put that away.
Sorry.
You can only do it for iTunes radio.
Let's get to the movies.
Avengers, Age of Ultron. Is it colon or is it dash? No, it's colon.
That's a colon, yeah, for the subtitle. Yeah. And this is what's the second Avengers movie, but it's the 30th Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
I think it's – is it like 13 or something? I don't know.
Well, of course – it's
11. It's 11. I think it is.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Well, Matt Singer did the marathon, and he's doing that over at Screen Crush. You guys should totally read that.
Live it's been blogging. I guess at some theater in New York, they showed all of them back to back in a marathon, which sounds
27. Yes, it is 11 movies because it's 11 movies, 27 hours.
That sounds just excruciating.
I would do that for a lot of money. Otherwise, I would not do that.
Yeah, and even though I've enjoyed
for fame, I would do it for fame.
Even though I've enjoyed generally most of the Marvel movies, I would not enjoy watching them back to back because it's kind of like watching the same movie 11 times in a lot of ways. It would be like that.
Or the bad version of that good movie.
Right.
Like it's, you know, because you're still sitting through Thor 2, Iron Man 2. Are those the real stinkers? I guess those two are the real.
Yeah, pretty much.
Those are the ones. And by stinkers, I mean like just not as good as the others. That's all I mean.
But so now it's Avengers Age of Ultron. What has happened here is you got all your Avengers. You have the important Avengers, your Captain America, your Iron Man, your Hulk, and your who's the fourth
Thor.
One? Thor. And then you have the and the rest.
Now, and the rest really just in for the most part it's just Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, and the rest. Yeah. Those two. Right. Those are the fifth and sixth wheels on this four-wheeled vehicle.
They're all working together. It's all teamwork. It's all slow motion. It's all like, let's get Hydra off this planet.
Because here's here's what they got to do. They got to get this. They got Loki's scepter. Loki had a scepter. I'm going to assume that was in one of the other movies. Probably the last Thor movie. Probably Loki had a scepter.
Hang on.
Do you remember?
Well, the scepter played a huge role in many a film. But it showed up at the very end credits of Captain America 2, where we see not only that some guy has the scepter, but he also has two. What were they called? The ones that have
Infinity Stones?
No. Superheroes or supervillains that have powers.
Enhanced? Did they call them enhanced?
Enhanced.
Yeah.
He also had two enhanced.
That's right. He had a couple
being Quicksilver and Quicksilver's sister, Scarlet Witch.
But they can't call them mutants because that's an X-Men thing. And even though X-Men is Marvel, X-Men is owned by 20th Century Fox or whoever owns it.
And
so we can't call them mutants in this, even though they would be mutants in the comic book.
They're enhanced.
Yeah, they're enhanced.
We've got an enhanced. And, we've got another enhanced.
And so the Avengers, the real Avengers, and also Black Widow and Hawkeye. I refuse to even call them Avengers. I just realized that I'm drawing the line.
If you don't Black have Widow comes closer. Well, no, that's
neither
not
the, neither of them have superpowers.
I know.
Yeah, so they're not. I'm sorry. No. Anyway, they're going to get the scepter, and the whole thing is the scepter has power in it. And what do they call it? The Mind Stone. It has a Mind Stone, which is one of the Infinity Stones. That's maybe the most important and powerful of the Infinity Stones. Maybe. And so basically, what does happen? So you got Iron Man.
Something happens to where they get it.
So they get it. And so Tony Stark has had this idea for a thing called Ultron. This would be a super Iron Man robot thing. That would be like an artificial intelligence that would police the world and keep us safe. Peace in our time. Peace in our lifetime.
Because I don't know if you guys recall, a lot of aliens came out of the sky at the end of Avengers, and that's something that, like, well, maybe the Avengers can handle that every time. Maybe they can't.
That freak
Ultron could do it every time perfectly. That's Tony Stark's idea.
And Tony Stark was very freaked out by the aliens.
He didn't like it. He didn't like where he almost died.
Super freaked out. Well, he almost dies all the time. But not really this is the first time about aliens. Aliens showing up. That blew his mind.
He tells Bruce Banner, come on, help me. Let's keep it a secret from everybody else. And that's when you know that's just bad idea, James.
You shouldn't be telling secrets. You shouldn't be keeping secrets when you're
come
in the
on,
Avengers.
Avengers work together. Mm-hmm.
That's how the Avengers get driven apart is by secrets.
Yep.
Ultron is his artificial intelligence, and it's the voice
of... And they kind of create it, but they don't. But they don't really explain how they don't, but they almost did.
Sort of creates itself, and it's the voice of James Spader. And so now they've got this very, very powerful artificial intelligence thing.
Very powerful, and for the most part, very much attempting to be clever with what he says. Ultron's very big into the sass.
Ultron is very big on sounding like a character written by Joss Whedon.
Yes.
Coincidentally, so does everyone else. And coincidentally, the movie was written and directed by Joss Whedon. So,
yeah. There's all that stuff. And they have a party. And you know who comes to these kinds of parties. You got your War Machine. Mm. You got your Falcon. Peggy Carter couldn't make it. But, she shows up in other parts. And whatever.
There's a lot of
people in this.
Because one of the enhanced, it's Elizabeth Olsen, not Maggie Gyllenhaal.
No.
No, I keep thinking she's going to be Maggie Gyllenhaal, but then she's Elizabeth Olsen instead.
Right.
She, her superpower, her enhanced power is she can mess with your mind. And so we see a lot of dreams and sort of nightmares and visions that people have.
Right. Everybody at home, raise your hand when you feel like in a movie or a TV show – you have thought, oh my gosh, that dream sequence was the most important part of that movie, and it really nailed it. So what they did is decided to give everyone a dream sequence.
Mm-hmm. We see their fears and their
So here's what they do: while they're trying to get Ultron, they give.
We got to mention the reason they got to get Ultron. By the way, is because his mission is to protect the world, which he has interpreted to mean basically destroy the world. Basically, first of all, kill the Avengers and
kill
then probably
Avengers
everybody else
mainly,
too.
Right?
Yeah, so that's why they got to stop him. This was a good idea Tony Stark had that has gone awry.
Yes. All right. So they fill their time with having the party, being drunk and trying to pick up Thor's hammer, which is amusing, especially with Joss Whedon writing all
that's
of that
funny.
Stuff.
That's funny stuff,
that's,
yeah.
That's in his wheelhouse. Then what else do we got? We have them telling us that Black Widow and Bruce Banner are really attracted to each other and consistently flirting.
That's something that
fills up time. Thor goes to the Water of Sight, which couldn't be less explained.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the movie tries to tell you that Hawkeye is really, really important.
Now, here's the thing about that. You know how Hawkeye's not important and doesn't do anything? He shoots arrows. He's very good at shooting arrows. I'll give him that. And he is very good at always having enough arrows, except when the plot requires him to run out. Yes, absolutely. But he doesn't have superpowers. And so this has been a problem with this series. And so the way they deal with it is in this movie, he says, he's talking to somebody who says, you know, I see you out there with like these gods and these people with amazing powers. And he says, and you feel like they don't need me. And the person says, no, I'm worried that they do need you. And you're supposed to go like, oh, yeah, see. Now, this person doesn't explain in what way they need him or how he is useful. And the movie never does say that. But I feel they sort of wipe their hands like, well, all right, we've answered that. That person said he is useful.
I should say that one of the interesting parts, which kind of works, kind of doesn't. But you know how everybody has a dream sequence? Guess who doesn't? Hawkeye doesn't. And the reason is because in the first movie, the scepter took over, you know, and he became a villain for a while.
That's right. He's done the mind control thing.
And so there's a clever bit of dialogue where he's like, nope, I'm not doing that again. But here's the thing. All of the other superheroes are really super and they couldn't avoid it. But yet somehow Hawkeye is able to avoid it.
Yeah, I didn't understand how he was able to avoid it. I didn't really get that.
He was able to avoid it because he somehow saw her coming.
Right.
Even though the other superheroes who are really, really super did not see her coming.
But then all he did was like sort of a whack her in the head.
So no. It was a special arrow.
Oh, special arrow, sure. Oh, the other...
He's got a bunch of special arrows.
The other...
We didn't even mention the other mutant. Quicksilver.
Yeah, the other mutant is Aaron Taylor Johnson, and he's the Flash. He runs very fast.
Both of them are stuck with Russian accents that just... I don't need to see people putting on Russian accents in an Avengers movie. I already had to deal with that with... in Iron Man 2. What's his name did it?
Mickey Rourke.
Like, come on. We don't need it, Mickey Rourke. Well, here's the problem with Quicksilver. He's much, much, much better in the X-Men movie.
Over there, he was what's his name? Evan Peters? Is that his name?
But the character is so much more enjoyable, and the visuals are so much better that it's like all you can do is go, well, this Quicksilver is not as good as that Quicksilver.
Yeah.
But maybe we won't have to deal with
maybe
him
he won't
much.
Be in the next movies. Although
who knows?
Although there are really no restrictions on who can show up in one of these movies, regardless of whether they have died or gone away or whatever. The only restriction is whether the actor wants to appear in it, which is why there are references to Pepper Potts and Thor's girlfriend Jane, but they're not there. That whole dialogue was like. The whole purpose was we need to remember, hey, we've got these girls, remember? No, not in this movie, but we've got them. There's continuity. This is all one story here.
Yeah.
Someday we'll get Gwyneth Paltrow back. Someday.
There is a new – those on the inside will know who Vision is, but there's a thing that Jarvis, who's always been voiced by Paul Bettany, there's a twist on his character to try to help save the day. And the end of this movie – is it's in a fictitious Eastern European country, Sokovia,
yeah.
Otherwise, it's pretty much just destroy a city, try to save people.
Same as all of them.
Just like the last one. But here's the twist. Are you guys ready?
Just like the last seven.
Hang on. Here's a twist. Instead of aliens, it's robots.
What?
Get it? I know.
So yeah. So once again, it's a city, and everyone's in the air, and they're fighting, and the thing, this
one to me felt like I never had. Well, here's the thing. The movie ends, and I thought to myself, well, I liked that action. Wait, what else happened?
Yeah.
Like, what? I liked the teamwork. You know what the teamwork is in this movie? And I'm not making a joke here. It's as good as Kung Fu Panda 2. Kung Fu Panda 2, if you watch that movie, they have really good teamwork in their action sequences.
That's like, that's why people always talk. That is the go-to example for teamwork in a movie is Kung Fu Panda 2. Like film textbooks cite. Yeah.
But Kung Fu Panda 2 has better action sequences and it has better comedy than this movie. And so that's weird, but that's the one you can compare it to easier than any of the other Avenger movies. Like the villain is better.
Other movie with teamwork. Absolutely. Yes. Kung Fu Panda 2 is the go-to film to cite as an
Thank
example
you. I'm
of teamwork.
Glad, yes. Okay, good. All right. We're both on the same page and that's important.
I feel like if I enjoyed this movie well enough while I watched it, laughed a few times. The action is Whedon shoots the action very it's clear and coherent, and I appreciate that. But yeah, I feel like if I watched it again, I would be quite bored with it.
There's it doesn't seem like anything is really at stake, and it might have to do with Ultron being so flippant so many times. Like James Spader's character does not instill any sort of fear for the moment.
Right.
So you're not really worried about that. And when you finish it, you're like, oh yeah, it's Thanos that we're supposed to care about.
That guy.
Looking for his Infinity Stones. Yeah. It's just like a really, it's like a really shallow middle set piece of, you know, a trilogy where it's just like, hey, we're going to pass the time with stuff that you guys like, and you guys like it when Hulk smashes, and you guys like it when
Tony Stark says sarcastic things.
Right. So we'll go with that again. And it's like, all right, but nothing to remember. It really isn't.
Fatigue has settled in. And even though it's only the second Avengers movie, it's the 11th Marvel movie, and that's not counting all the other Marvel movies. I don't care very much.
Well, this is when the first Avengers ended, my thought was mainly, oh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to go back to the standalones. Like, how in the world will those be good enough anymore? And they proved I really liked Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. I did not care for Thor 2, and I really liked Captain America 2.
Eh.
After watching this, I'm just kind of like, if you're going to – I know the plan, but it's like maybe I'm just ready for the standalone and somebody new to helm it, and we'll see how it goes.
But even the standalones are all feel like part of the same big machine.
Yeah, but do you think – I mean, clearly Ant-Man won't just because of how many weird – Well, then again, who knows? Maybe they wanted something ordinary that fit in, and that's why – yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
you're right.
You're right.
It is a big machine. And
the first Captain America was different, and then the second Captain America, they sure beat that out of it and made it like all the other ones.
Ending was like all the other ones, yes.
So this is a B-.
I'm a 6 out of 10. I'm right there with you. Yeah. I kept kind of like wondering, like, well, was the action good enough to make it a 7? And it's like, no, because you definitely feel like a little complainy about a little too many things. That's how it felt to me. And my goodness, so the end of the movie, never mind. We'll talk about that after the show because people are going to see this one, and I don't want to be a spoiler.
All right.
I don't want to do it. I won't.
Good. Right. Also, another movie in limited release, and it's also on the VODs, film called Adult Beginners, starring Nick Kroll, funny man Nick Kroll.
Funny-ish man.
Written by, I guess he has a story, and then the screenplay was credited to other people, but whatever. It's his big starring vehicle. And to stop me if you've heard this before, it's a movie about a guy who...
No, keep going.
All right. About a guy, kind of arrogant maybe, who suffers some setbacks and must return to his hometown. Guess what? Some things there are different. Some of the people he used to know are kind of losers, and they're still sticking around. And he has to, like, sort of reevaluate and sort of restart his life, like, as an adult, sort of an adult beginner, you might say. Yeah.
All right, new territory. Interesting.
Yeah, that is definitely new territory, especially if you've never seen a movie that ever played at Sundance. Did this play at Sundance? Was this at Sundance?
I think – no.
No, it wasn't.
It was at South by.
It was South by Southwest, yes.
But wait, it might have been at Sundance and I just didn't see it there? I don't know. No, I don't think
it's
so.
It's not listed here for Sundance.
Anyway, it's weird because a couple of things. I ended up – so he's a young entrepreneur whose like company goes under because he didn't see something with the big launch of his company. And it's just that thing of when he comes back, he ends up taking care of a 3-year-old.
He moves in with his childhood home with his sister Rose Byrne and her husband Bobby Cannavale, and they've got a 3-year-old, his little nephew. Yeah,
and those two are dating in real life and have made like 4 movies in a row together, which is kind of awesome that they're just like, hey, let's hang together. I think that's great.
So he's babysitting his nephew.
Yeah, he's babysitting his nephew, and clearly he hasn't had much experience with a three-year-old. Sure. But it kind of feels like the writers and directors haven't had much experience with a three-year-old either. Like, so there's nothing nothing that feels terribly learned by Nick Kroll while taking care of this kid. Like, there's no life lessons that he's grabbing onto that will then be like, oh, I'm going to create a new app based on this kid. Yeah. Anything like that.
Because taking care of the kid is like sort of a minor part of the story anyway. Like they devote time to it, but it doesn't affect anything. It's just sort of one of the things that he does.
Right. It's almost just filler. I mean, the thing that this movie gets pretty well, I think, is Nick Kroll and Rose Byrne playing off of each other as brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's the joy, because they clearly have baggage. They clearly have affection. But at the same point, there has been a distance, and, you know, they both feel like they're stuck with each other, sometimes happily.
Right.
And that's really the thing to grab onto. And I liked Nick Kroll potentially more than I have in the past.
It
feels just like Age of Ultron.
Here's another thing that this movie is about that you probably have not seen before in a movie, is that Nick Kroll's character has to learn to find the balance between work and family, and he has to learn what's really important. Right down to being in the middle of an important businessy thing, and when there's a family thing that comes in on the phone. I think Nick Kroll, he's hit or miss with his characters in the Nick Kroll show, kind of was hit or miss for me. But I think he's a funny actor, and I first noticed him on Children's Hospital, where I thought he was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I think he's very funny.
On Children's Hospital, he's great.
He's with Amy Poehler now, and she's funny.
I know. So it's like benefit of the doubt a little bit.
And he's funny-ish here, but I was disappointed at how generic this is. For someone who is clearly a creative, funny person, to come up with such a generic story.
Even your side characters, where it would normally feel like, oh, that's going to be a home run, mm-hmm. Like Jane Krakowski as Miss Jen, a swim instructor. Like, you think there's going to be some really good stuff there, and it's just like, oh, she doesn't like it that he's talking,
Joel McHale has a couple of scenes. Bobby Moynihan a little bit. Mark Birbiglia for a second. Like, there's all these good people showing up, and then don't give them anything to do.
I really, really like Joel McHale.
I know you do.
But man, he doesn't shine in films. when he's in a small role in a film, it never seems to really be a great showcase for him.
It's a C+.
It's a 6 out of 10. Again, there is some nice, easy moments.
It's not
Rose Byrne, officially Rose Byrne. She is, she's a world treasure, cause she's not a national treasure, but she's,
that's true. Cause she's not from this country.
Right. She's a world treasure.
Where is she from? Is she English or Australia? Oh yes. Australia. She's from Australia.
She's amazing.
She is. She needs to start.
She's a little
a
too petite. For me.
For
she's almost too tiny.
What do you mean for you?
Like she's almost like 80 pounds. I just don't like that.
Well, it's not up to you.
No, I know.
You're a married man anyway. It doesn't matter.
That's a good point. Yes, but I like to think, you know, when she passes. I'm kidding. Sorry.
You think you can fight Bobby Cannavale for Rose Byrne's affection?
I'm taller than him, but I'm probably 10% his strength.
Yeah, and he's
just a character in everything.
And he's very manly and Italian.
Yeah.
I mean, so he can definitely take you.
Oh my gosh, on Boardwalk Empire, he played this guy who was nasty, and I'd never seen that side of Bobby before.
Remember, he was
Bobby.
He was one of Will's boyfriends for a while, Will and Grace. That's where I first saw him.
That's how I think that's how I first knew of him.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's a Broadway actor. He can do it all, that Bobby.
Good old Bobby. Bobby and Rose.
Yeah. Bobby and Rose.
So that's that movie, Adult Beginners.
Yeah, that's that movie.
Now let's get to the question of the week, which will lead us into the Summer Box Office Challenge, because, as we mentioned, this is the fifth year we've done the Summer Box Office Challenge, and we'll explain the details in a minute, but for this part of it, there's a bet. There's a bet involved between me and my co-host, Jeff, and we asked you guys to help us come up with the stakes of the bet this year, for this year's contest. And we got some very creative and amusing suggestions. We can't take them all, of course.
No, and some of them we don't want to.
And some of them are, well, for example, Chris suggested whoever loses has to get a bald man haircut. And he posts a picture. This is on Facebook. He posts a picture of what he's talking about, where it's no hair on the top of your head, but there's hair around the sides. And I observed correctly, I think, that there's no way that Jeff would accept a bet that involves his hair. You've said as much before.
I have. Well, and okay. I have said that, and the reason I said that in the past is because I've done some TV work.
That's right. You were on TV. That's true. Okay.
I'm currently not on TV, but now I'm starting to realize it might not have had anything to do with TV.
That was maybe just your excuse.
Well, and then not only that, it's not fair because of your standard haircut, which isn't even – it's not a haircut. You just shave your head.
Right.
So it just isn't fair. That's what I'll say.
I can accept that.
That picture makes me really nervous. Like, I couldn't. I couldn't.
And we've done hair-related things before, and it's a funny idea, but no. Our friend JC, who is one of the hosts of the One of Us shows,
Inside the Locker Room, right?
Is that him? It's Inside the Locker, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He suggested the loser has to buy lunch for the hosts of that show, which would include him. No, JC.
Nice try, JC. Mm-hmm.
Zach suggested the winner gets Dylan. That's your little boy. Or the loser, depending on the quality of the child.
That would be...
like permanently, I wonder, Zach? Like permanent custody or like just for a week or something?
Yeah. I would say if my wife and I ever get around to having more, which we might in a couple years. We haven't decided yet.
No need
if
to
we
rush.
Have more, then we can put that... bet on the table, but otherwise I feel like she's not gonna want to give up her only one that's how she strikes me.
That's true. That's that seems like her. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would definitely be selfish about that.
Adrian says Portland punishment, loser has to take Rob Hunter to dinner and a movie.
No.
And that's just too cruel.
No. No, come on. Yeah. No.
That's oh man, can you imagine?
Lance suggested and we, this to me was one of the better suggestions. This is one of the near misses. Lance suggested that the loser must cosplay in a Marvel costume of the winner's choosing at an inappropriate event, and then there were suggestions like, you know, wearing a Thor costume to the opening night of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a fine suggestion. I like it. We didn't go with it, but I like that idea.
But it is, yeah, it is nice. Some that are similar, we're kind of skipping over here.
Brandon said that if I lose, I should have to help the Bears move into the new house while wearing the t-shirt that Jeff had to wear last year after his loss. First of all, I assume that t-shirt no longer exists.
I think it might.
Oh, really? I assumed that you destroyed it as soon as you were allowed to.
It actually, it won't burn. It's kind of magical.
That's right. I did put a charm on it, so it wouldn't
It's
burn.
Like the Babadook of t-shirts. Mm-hmm. You can keep trying, but it keeps popping up in other places. It's haunting me.
And then also, I'm not going to help you move into your house.
And I don't want your help.
You're going to have movers do it, is
right.
The point.
Yeah. And I should cancel those movers and just have you do it.
Just me by myself?
Yeah. And me just dictating.
This is my favorite idea, completely impractical. But for some reason, it amuses me to no end. Patrick suggested the winner gets the loser's phone for the entirety of Fantastic Fest. And I don't know why that amuses me so much.
Like, in other words, would you then be saying, oh, Lisa says she wants you to do that, or can you do that? Like, would you be passing messages on then?
Maybe.
Would you be my service?
Maybe, or maybe not. Maybe I would respond as though I were you.
Hmm.
There's lots of reasons why it's impractical, but I do
right.
I do like the idea. Someone suggested a tuxedo and having to perform an awards acceptance speech for their humiliating loss. Jeffrey said that.
Tim said a loser must be the winner's butler for 1 week. didn't work on the sitcom Jerry within the sitcom Seinfeld, so it probably
That's
won't
true.
Work.
And Diego down in Argentina, he suggested something similar where the winner would get to live with the loser for a week and sort of be waited on hand and foot by the loser. Which that wouldn't work because you would not enjoy living at my house for a week.
Right.
Because I have a one bedroom apartment. You'd be on the on the couch or whatever.
Yeah. I'm also needed.
You are also needed at your house. That's the other thing. That's right. You're a father.
I'm a father.
Whatever.
Kind of.
He's got a
I'm
mom.
Just saying. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
Babysitting for a week or scrubbing toilets for 2 weeks.
Dallas suggested a loser must go to an event alone, like Frozen on Ice. He actually looked it up that like Frozen on Ice would be in Portland in October. That is good. And then like give a review about the event. But I could not do that alone.
Frozen on Ice?
No, there's no way I could do that alone. I just
sitting by yourself with all the kids and their
families.
I guess
I could take Dylan, but I don't.
No, it says alone. It says right here, loser must go to an event alone.
No, so that's thank you, but we did not take any of those suggestions.
But we have chosen variations of some other suggestions that people did give.
Some of this for those who wrote in and we didn't say yours. Some of this will sound familiar.
It'll be a two-phase bet here. Part of it will be enacted at Fantastic Fest.
So at Fantastic Fest, it will be pick three movies or events the other one has to go to or watch.
The winner chooses three movies or events for the loser to.
So like Eric knows that I don't like rape as much as he does, so he would probably pick movies that are really rapey.
Yeah.
And make me watch those.
Like all those times where I'm like, I hear about a movie or I see a movie and then you ask me, would I like that? And the ones where I say, oh, no, you wouldn't like it. Those would be the ones that I would then
make you go see. And for me, I would probably make you do like a midnight event instead of going to a midnight movie because your feeling is, well, this is ridiculous. I'm at a film festival. I'm supposed to see movies. Why would I do this? I just have to stand around and just talk to people?
Ugh. Or go to like one of their dumb things where let's go shoot guns. Or whatever. All that dumb off-site Fantastic Fest.
No, that would cost $700.
Oh, that's right. That one costs money.
We're not doing that.
But plenty of other, as much as we love Fantastic Fest, plenty of other things that I have no interest in and I think are a waste of time. But yes.
All right. So that's Fantastic Fest 1. Fantastic Fest 2 is any temporary tattoos not on the face.
Winner chooses a temporary tattoo that the loser must wear for Fantastic Fest for the whole week.
Right.
Right.
By the way, I think I already have mine in mind. And
oh, yeah?
It makes me want to win this.
Oh, interesting.
So bad.
You're motivated.
So
Where do you get temporary tattoos, and how do you know like what your choices are? I've never looked for temporary tattoos before.
I'll send you if I end up losing, I'll just send you a link to something really nice, and then you can get that for me, and I'll have to wear it for a week. It'll be nice.
Yeah.
And then in Portland,
the loser
has to watch. Neither one of us have seen this movie. We hear it might not be that good. Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2, three nights in a row, and you have to do a running diary of it.
Yeah. We thought about maybe you have to live tweet it, but no, if you're live tweeting, then that's distracting you from the movie. So instead, be taking notes, maybe your mental notes.
Right.
You're
jotting things down nice and quick.
And then after, you'll do a running diary sort of blog post or something. And you got to watch it three nights in a row.
Three nights in a row. I will, or you will, have seen Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2 three times.
And I
that movie will be the movie you will have seen the most in 2015 if you lose.
Yeah.
I will make sure that that won't be the case for me. I will see a movie four times, so I don't have to say. I saw Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2.
Just to wash the taste of it out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to hear what insights you have into the film the third time you see it. What things you didn't notice the first two times.
Oh, my God.
So those are the stakes. A tattoo and some unappealing movies or events at Fantastic Fest, and then three nights of Paul Blart 2.
I know you're saying tattoo. It is I'm reading it again. It's tattoos. It's plural.
Meaning what? Oh, the suggestion that somebody said?
No, I'm just telling you it's plural.
Oh, that's the way you've written it down? Plural tattoos? Okay. Is there a limit on the number of tattoos, temporary tattoos, the loser has to wear?
Hey, let's just not go overboard. Let's interpret that to what it is.
All right. Temporary tattoos, not going overboard and not on the face.
Not on the face. Hey, okay. Hey, not on the face.
Right.
So allow me to explain.
Do they make temporary tattoos of like an up close of an anus? Like, could I make you have to wear just like a string of anuses across around your neck?
Now, I don't understand how it works in your
world. Or would that be going overboard?
Like, is a string of anuses something? Like, is that code for something?
No, just like a bunch of them next to each other. Like several tattoos of...
is that a move? Is that a move? Is that
a string of anuses? No.
Oh, did he? Did he give you the old string of anuses?
So that'll be fun.
All right, so here's how the Summer Box Office Challenge works. Eric and I, at the end of this, will both have 10 movies. Mm-hmm. We will be doing a draft that consists of one of us getting the first pick, the next person getting number 2 and 3, and then it just going back and forth until we're done.
Until we each have 10. These are movies that are opening between today, May 1st, and the end of the summer, end of August. Yeah, Labor Day. Movies that are opening in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've each chosen our 10 movies, then we'll be adding the opening weekend box office, domestic box office.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's important, people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A movie might open up on Wednesday. You do not get that money. You only get Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. So strategically, we tend not to choose Wednesday movies because then we don't get to count the first 2 days. Yes.
Wait, what's the thing? We actually had to figure this out. Thursday,
like midnight stuff. Well, Thursday midnight is part of Friday.
But then, yeah. It's that weird, like if it's seven, if it's released, like we're honest with each other. That's the
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm. It's important that you think that.
What?
Yeah, movies that have Thursday night showings. It doesn't. Yeah, this thing's Box Office Mojo doesn't always break down how much of the total came from that. But yeah.
We'll do our best.
We'll do our best, and if it comes down to where it's a very close game, we can get very specific. But. Yeah, so that's how it'll work. We'll add up the opening weekend box offices for the movies.
And we highly recommend you finding a friend or just another human being and doing this with them. Play along at home, if you will.
Yes,
because sure, you could just pick 10, but then you would have picked, you know, the best 10 out of our 20, and then, of course, you would beat us. That doesn't work. So you have to find another human being.
Right, yes.
Do your best. Now, Eric.
Hmm. Yes.
Up on my screen
mm-hmm.
is the true random number generator.
Random.org?
The minimum is 1.
Uh-huh.
The maximum is 2.
All right.
You get to say 1 or 2. And if you are correct,
I get first pick, right?
To choose if you want the first pick or if you want 2 and 3.
Okay.
Right? Is that how we do it? That's how we should do it.
I mean, yeah, if you win,
then you get the choice of play or pass, just like Family Feud.
Exactly.
You ready?
I'm choosing a number between 1 and 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Say your number on the count of 3, and that is when I will generate the number. This will add some layer of honesty to the contest, which I don't understand.
Do I say it on 3 or after 3?
Yes.
On 3, okay.
On 3, I'll be pushing the button, and you'll be saying the number.
All right.
1, 2, 3.
1.
It's 2.
Dough. All right.
Do you want me to take a screenshot?
No, I believe you.
Wow. Fool. I will choose to play.
All right. What is your first choice?
Oof. Wait, are we doing this now?
Yes, we're doing this now.
Oh, I thought we were doing it next week.
What do you mean? No, you didn't.
Avengers. Age of Ultron. Mm. Number 1 pick.
All right. Good.
I am wiping my hands. I just won, everybody. It's over.
My first 2 picks then are Pitch Perfect 2.
Stop it.
And Jurassic World.
Stop it.
What do you mean, stop it?
Are you being serious?
Yes, why not?
Because now you're just handing me victories.
Oh, Pitch Perfect 2 is going to be huge.
I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I had written down 21 movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was number 14 on my list.
Okay. What's your next choice?
That'll be key to figure out. I only get 1 right now, right? And then we go back and forth?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Minions.
Minions, all right.
Yeah.
I next choose Mad Max Fury Road.
I... We have a lot of discrepancies. We have a lot of disagreements so far.
All right. Good, good.
I choose Inside Out.
All right. Always bet on Pixar. Safe bet, Pixar.
Yep.
San Andreas. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. There's earthquakes. Stuff getting destroyed.
Your last three picks have been 14, 10, and 16 on my list.
Oh, wow.
So I'm confident, mm-hmm. which is normally a terrible sign.
Right.
I pick Mission: Impossible - Rogue Nation.
Mm-hmm. That was about to be my next
pick. Is it dash or is it hyphen?
It's a dash, an M dash.
Okay. All right.
I now choose Ant-Man. Ant-Man.
Hang on. Have you been writing these down?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I've just been putting little marks on things.
Yeah, I'm keeping track.
All right. I am going with Fantastic Four.
That was going
to
be my
Fantastic Four.
That was to be my next choice, so we're getting more in line now.
Wait, hang on.
Hmm.
For my top six movies that I wanted,
yeah,
I got five of them.
Oh, nice.
I'm just way too arrogant right now.
Yeah, right now. Poltergeist is my next one.
Okay, good choice. There's number 12 on my list, everybody. 12. I'm going with, you know, Seth MacFarlane has had a checkered past with me in the Summer Box Office Challenge.
Yes.
Last summer,
oh.
I decided to choose a movie that perhaps ruined my chances of victory.
You bet big on A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I did it based on Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I choose Ted 2.
Mm. All right, all right. Spy. Melissa McCarthy's Spy.
Okay. All right, not bad. I am hoping here that nobody pays attention to things that are on the internet and nobody cares that this actually opens on a Wednesday.
Okay.
Terminator Genesis.
All right. Not even on my list because of the Wednesday thing.
Ooh.
Didn't even consider it.
Wow.
I next choose Tomorrowland.
Okay. Now, ladies, you have a job to do this summer, and it's to not see this movie on Wednesday or Thursday. Magic Mike XXL.
That's right. Oh. It's ladies that'll be seeing that movie.
Opening opposite Terminator Genesis.
As always, when you say ladies, you mean gay men.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say it's slang, from what I understand.
Now I choose... This is a movie that I do not think will be good, but I think it will be successful.
This is my next choice.
I think it'll be a hit. Pixels.
Yep, that was my next choice.
It looks like it's supposed to be like Toy Story, but with video game characters. And I think
if you wanna attach your wagon to Adam Sandler this summer, you go right ahead.
I mean, that's usually a pretty safe bet, and it's animated. And sure, I feel like that's probably going to make money. Again, I'm not saying I endorse it, only that I understand it.
Is the whole thing animated?
Oh, I thought it is. It not? I thought it was. Isn't
it? I don't know. I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was an animated movie.
I haven't seen a trailer or anything. Well, I think it's if it's video game characters, wouldn't it have to be?
I think some of it. I don't know. I have no idea. You're not here to get information about things that are a month to 2 months to 3 months.
Oh, you're right. People. No, it is live action. Why did I think it was a cartoon?
Because it's called Pixels.
And it's about... Anyway, yes. That's my choice. Pixels. Right. Yes. Right. Oh, Kevin James, too. Oh, wow.
But then isn't somebody... Is it Patton Oswalt? Who's in it that we like? There's somebody in there that we like.
Jane Krakowski is the first lady. Chris Parnell, Brian Cox, Sean Bean, Josh Gad, Peter Dinklage, Michelle Monaghan.
Peter Dinklage is who I was thinking.
The Dink, as they call him.
All right. How many do I have left?
You have chosen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 2 left.
I am changing my order.
Oh, calling an audible.
This always historically backfires for me when I do this. Last summer, especially. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Pan.
With what?
P-A-N. Pan.
Pan?
Wait, hang on. Does it come out?
That? I don't know. I don't remember noticing that on the list of titles. Maybe it does. I'm Pan. Is it about Peter Pan?
Yeah, we have to look this up. Hang on, people.
Pan.
I think it might. Is it a? It's a. Maybe it's a musical.
A wide release.
Hang on.
I'm looking.
Wait. No, I am not choosing Pan. I apologize for this. Because it's not in the date range. It was in the Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, maybe.
It's updated. No.
I use projectionlist.com for all my release date needs.
Okay, what does it say?
I don't see Pan listed here. But I'm just scanning. I'm not...
All right. It says October 9th.
Oh, here we go. Oh, yes, October 9th. Yep, Pan. So
is that correct? That's what you have?
That's what I have on projection list.
Okay. Entertainment Weekly had it in the summer.
All right. I will not
be choosing Pan.
Okay, good.
Starring Hugh Jackman as...
Peter Pan?
No, he said Blackbeard, actually. Weird.
Blackbeard?
He's not even Hook.
Weird. All right.
Garrett Hedlund is Hook.
What do you choose instead that opens in the summer?
Vacation.
Vacation. All right. The National Lampoon's Vacation remake.
Not a remake.
No. Reboot?
No.
Sequel. Oh, sequel. Really?
Yeah.
Are they meant to be the same characters? I know the boy, the son always Ross. kept changing anyway. Oh, he's the kid now grown up?
Yep.
Okay. So Chevy Chase really can show up as his dad.
Really makes it sound like something. Chevy Chase has a cameo in along with Beverly D'Angelo.
So is Vacation the Next Generation?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, I only get one more choice. My final choice. This is tough. This is really tough. Hot Pursuit. Primarily because it's the only wide release next weekend.
Wow.
I think if it had any competition, it would not do well, but I think it will do. I don't know. I'm already second guessing myself. All right, get one more choice. Yes, one more choice.
And you're done.
I'm done.
Okay. I am going to say Trainwreck. Even though, you know what? Yeah.
Trainwreck? All right.
And the reason for picking Trainwreck is because I don't care about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cheer for it. I want to cheer for Trainwreck. And I'll have so much extra money just like to throw around at that point. So it just it doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you can just go buy all the tickets to help it win?
Oh, no. Like, I won't need it. I'll need it to make, like, $1.
Oh, you mean that you will have done so well with your other choices? Yes. Gotcha.
All right, so here's the reason I didn't pick some of the movies that you picked.
Okay.
I'm kidding. No, mainly my thinking with Mad Max was rated R. It's got a slight competition that weekend with something else. I can't remember what. Poltergeist, maybe?
No.
I can't remember now. But it was one of those things where I was just like, you know?
It is my wild card. It's the same weekend as Pittsburgh, too.
I don't know if it's going to make time. I can't get a feel of that movie.
It might be one of those things that everyone that we know loves, that the internet loves, but that regular people don't go for.
And The Rock has not proven yet that he can open up a movie that's not already an established franchise.
Oh, but I feel like Earthquakes and Disaster Porn is an established franchise. I feel like that's all you need. The Rock and Earthquakes and Stuff Falling Apart, I feel like that is a slam dunk. Slam dunk. Just saying.
I can't believe your first pick was Pitch Perfect 2.
It's going to be a big hit.
I can't believe it.
You didn't. What was the one last year that I chose that you... Not even on your radar, and then it was a big hit like I thought it would be. Some other comedy or something.
No, yeah, it was a comedy. The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, yes, that was the one that out of nowhere.
You guys remember how funny that one was, right?
Okay, it wasn't a comedy. But I'm just saying, Pitch Perfect has a huge following. And this sequel...
But The Fault in the Stars you picked probably like for your like seventh choice.
Right.
You are saying that opening weekend, Pitch Perfect 2 is going to make more money than Mission Impossible, Inside Out, Minions. That's what you're saying, opening
maybe,
weekend.
Maybe that's what I'm saying.
No, it is what you're saying. There's no maybe about it.
Let's just see. Let's just see who wins.
No, I'm calling it right now. I won.
We'll post. All right. You were so confident. You even established a side bet last year with between what would do better, A Million Ways to Die in the West or one of mine.
A Million Ways to Die in the West versus Neighbors.
Versus Neighbors. That's right.
Opening weekend. And that was that was a meal.
If you'd like to have your memory refreshed, Neighbors had an opening weekend of $49 million, and A Million Ways to Die in the West had an opening weekend of $16 million. So that's what happened the last time you were so sure. Anyway, we'll see. That's what makes it so fun. We don't know what's going to happen. We'll post our lists of the movies on Facebook, and of course we'll update you each week as movies open. You've got the big one this weekend, Avengers. Mm-hmm. The next weekend I've got Hot Pursuit. Then after that, then I have Pitch Perfect 2 and Mad Max after that. Anyway,
that's right.
There'll be stuff basically every weekend this summer. There'll be something going on.
Oh, so it'll be interesting to see if Hot Pursuit, Pitch Perfect 2, and Mad Max can make more than Avengers. That'll be interesting.
Which they probably won't. All right, so those are our choices, and the stakes are in place, and we're all set to go, and it'll be a fun, exciting summer for the Summer Box Office Challenge.
Fifth annual,
yeah. And now let's, before we wrap things up, let's briefly play a round of, hey, what'd you watch?
Hey, what'd you watch?
Because I've watched a few things. I rewatched Crash. Crash came out 10 years
Which
ago.
One?
The crappy one
the
from
porn?
10 years ago. The Oscar winner, the best picture, Crash.
Oh, not the porn.
Because I, when it came out, I gave it a C+. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. But I, of course, it has this very bad reputation. So I rewatched it to see if maybe time would have been kind to it, or it'd be like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. Actually, no, it's worse. It's worse than I remember. It is a worse movie than I thought. Especially, like, so much of the – it's only 10 years old, but so many things they talk about are almost quaint. Mm. Now that we've had Ferguson and now Baltimore and, like, all this stuff that's gone on, Trayvon Martin, it just – some of the things that they talk about just seem – outdated. If they were to make that movie now, they would have to mention these other things, these things that have happened in the world.
Oh, yeah,
And now it's like watching a movie that's set, like, before 9/11. It's like it's a different world. And just so on the nose, and everyone's a racist, and everyone's really broad, and
Is it your least favorite Oscar-winning picture?
It might be my least favorite Best Picture winner. I haven't seen them all, but it's definitely one of the least popular. It shows up at the top of the list. That and the Greatest Show on Earth, big circus movie from the 50s, is supposedly like the worst Best Picture winner, but I haven't seen that. And I watched 9 to 5.
Oh.
Which I had never seen before, 1980.
Dolly Parton's boobs are in that movie.
They are, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her and Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. And then Dabney Coleman is the boss. I love Dabney Coleman. And I was not expecting that I would be on the boss's side for so much of it. Because these women are idiots. I don't mind telling you, these women, that's the problem. They're not idiots. They're presented like normal, regular ladies who then do these idiotic, stupid things. And I just did not find it funny for the most part. And Soap Dish. I watched Soap Dish.
Oh. It's got a really good cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing that in theaters in 1991. And,
that was an HBO rewatch for me.
Oh, yeah?
Like many a times, just like, oh, I'll watch another half hour of that.
I enjoyed that. I was amused by it. Good old Soap Dish. Like that Sally Field.
She's good.
She's going places, that Sally Field.
She's got a chance.
Yeah.
I watched Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, and I continued to like it. And everything that I felt was a little meh. Continued to be a little mad. I don't like the Falcon. I don't like this guy.
Is it because you're racist?
No.
Oh, really? So your racism is not a factor in that?
That's a tough one to answer. and then All About Eve. I have a column up for that at Film School Rejects. It's called Remedial Film School. Everybody should join. You'll learn so much.
You and Amy Nicholson from LA Weekly, right?
That's right. She is my guest film for this.
Nice.
I felt like there was another movie, and now I can't remember.
We'll never know.
Nope, that's it.
So to recap what we've learned on today's program, Avengers Age of Ultron is another one of those. It's one of those.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, whatever.
It's all right.
Adult Beginners is harmless enough. It's got a few laughs. And then, next week. Question of the week for next week. We didn't say it. Because Hot Pursuit comes out next week. That's Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara in what looks like a sort of Midnight Run situation with a cop and a criminal and they're running around together or something.
Yeah.
And so we want to know. It seems like the lady version of Midnight Run. So what would be some other movies that could have lady versions of them? And, who would be in them? And what would be different by having ladies? Let's not be sexist here. Funny is okay.
Yeah. Funny is good. Hot Pursuit, Ghostbusters, like these things are happening because it could potentially be a gold mine for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So where would you put your gold?
Hollywood has just discovered there is another gender besides men.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be a second fiddle.
Yeah.
They can be a first fiddle.
They're called ladies. Yeah, they can be right up there playing the fiddle.
Or a flute.
Whatever it is that women play. Whatever, they can play any instrument that a man can, obviously.
Even if it's like an older trombone, like a rusty one or something, they could do that. Like, it's fine.
I know where you're going with that.
What?
Summer Box Office Challenge. We look forward to a summer of hot, sweaty competition.
Oh, wait, what?
Because it's summer. Everyone's hot and sweaty.
Oh, okay.
We'll be hot and sweaty, grappling with each other.
And we'll be able to update it already starting next week when I have an infinity lead.
True. And so that then is the show. Hey, until next week, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.